I'm Wayne, and this is my Iron Maiden podcast, sponsored by Walker's Monster Munch. Classic corn snacks with a bite. Try the pickled onion flavour for the ultimate hangover cure. On these shows, I look at the songs of Iron Maiden and how they influenced me growing up as a boy in 1980s and 1990s Birmingham. I look at them today as well, 2023, and see how I feel. This week, I'm looking at the song Virus, and I can't say which is track something on a something album. And I'll come to that later, but straight away, I'm confused, I'm thrown, there's change for you. Last week, I did focus on an album, and a whole album, The X Factor, and it was an album review show, and I had some comments on it. I had a few people saying, why didn't you mention the artwork and the sleeve? You don't do that anymore. And people saying, oh, you don't do it now Derek Riggs has left. And you love him, don't you, with his pointy hat. And I had a comment from Dr. Death saying that, it's you who needs the pointy hat, Wayne, with dunce written on it. Now, this is upsetting, isn't it? And yeah, maybe I didn't mention the X Factor sleeve. And yeah, there's plenty of other things to talk about. But I had a message from Rupert saying that he deliberately didn't eat any breakfast while listening because he was expecting a graphic description and he didn't want to be put off his honey and nut cornflakes. So I'm sorry about this. The criticism didn't stop there though. I had a direct message on Twitter saying, how can you call them specials when you don't do jigsaws anymore? And this is something I mentioned, isn't it? I said this, you know, I called it an album review special, but maybe they haven't got the specialness, if that's a word, of the previous specials. But yeah, maybe the next album's Virtual 11. Maybe there's a jigsaw of that, but I don't know if that's what people want anymore. The bad news continued. In the previous show, I mentioned that someone called As Rock had done a wow emoji on every Facebook post for the series. But then he's gone and changed his name, hasn't he? And if people went to check this, they'd have been like, what are you talking about, Wayne? You've made this up. This is fake news. But it looks like he's changed his name to Oscar with a K. And that's an anagram of As Rock, isn't he? So I wonder if he's Mr. Anagram, because I haven't heard from him for a while. Luckily, I did have some good things said, although it wasn't about the episode, but just useful things to feed back. And Phil Walchester got in touch and had lots of comments about the X Factor and what he was doing at the time and his memories. And he recalls that Blaze said that he was definitely not the new singer. So that's interesting. And that caused confusion and maybe some deceit. He remembers Man on the Edge being played on the video walls at Donington 95 with a mixture of quality in the visuals. And he also says that the Man on the Edge single had a box come with it. So you could put future singles in it. But then they didn't release any, did they, from this album? Lord of the Flies only came out in other countries, so we had to wait for Virus. But his best memory of this time was playing RoboCard, James Pond 2 on the Amiga computer while listening to the album. And he says, and this might be useful, that Blood on the World's Hands sounds particularly nautical. Now, I don't remember playing this game on the Amiga. I was probably still playing Zool and WizKid. Now, they're good memories, aren't they? But you're probably thinking like me, aren't you? You know, wondering what sweets he was eating while the album was playing. That's what I want. No one ever does this. And as I forgot to talk about the sleeve, I'll tell you about me and what I would have eaten at the time. Or what chocolate it reminds me of. And for me, it would be Vice Versas. And at the time, they were still a bit new and fresh. But they became a bit short-lived because they weren't as classic or as successful as Minstrels. Anyway, this week I'm looking at the song Virus, as I said. Now, the word virus, it perhaps means a lot more to us in recent times. And you might think, oh yeah, I know what that means. I know what a virus is. You know, it's like a disease. But the actual definition says it's an infective agent. And then it goes into detail about nucleic acid molecules and multiplying in the living cells of a host. This is too scientific for me, so let's just keep it an infective agent, shall we? Now, of course, it can also mean a piece of code that copies itself and has a detrimental effect. And that's a computer virus. Now, going back to this, which came out in 1996, the internet was quite new. And you know, maybe some of the terms that we know today weren't known then. So maybe virus wasn't linked in the way we know it today to computers. And thinking back, you know, to that year, maybe things like spyware. You'd have used that to describe those disguise kits you got in the party goodie bag, you know, those fake glasses and moustache. And worms as well. The only link that had to computers was the game. It was a bit like Lemmings. Maybe Philip Wolchester played it while listening to this song. Now, as I said earlier, it's not on an album. Not on a usual album anyway. And as a result, I got the feeling it might be quite rare today. It's not on the streaming platforms. So yeah, it was a single only. So, even though we've had some other rare songs lately, like I Live My Way, it's not as rare as that, and it's more known because it was released as a single and it was on the compilation Best of the Beast. And you recall that I Live My Way wasn't even on Best of the B-Sides. Now, on this podcast, I've only had women in uniform like this before, even though I keep insisting that Twilight Zone wasn't on the Killers album. A lot of people do associate it with that album, so I have to give in to that sometimes. Now, it starts off quite slow and delicate, soft guitar and a barely audible vocal. The first line says, "There's an evil virus that's threatening mankind." Now, this was quoted quite a lot during the pandemic, and maybe this song had a bit more interest during this time. And some people had used it to claim that Iron Maiden had predicted the pandemic, but they were laughed at. Who'd think that sort of thing? Ridiculous. Then it says, "Not state of the art, a serious state of the mind." Now, that's a strange lyric. A state of the art means sort of cutting edge, like the Amstrad double-decker video that Mahmoud the Penguin Khan had. But this isn't about the virus now, unless it means an obsession with possessions coming from the state of the mind, you know, the need to have better trainers than Gola or Hi-Tech. But it isn't. Now, the delivery, a serious state of the mind, the way he sings it, it's similar to that line in Fortunes of War about men being on their way home. The song actually is about the reaction to the X Factor, the press and their views. And he's saying that those comments and opinions aren't about the state of the art, i.e. the music of Iron Maiden, and they come from someone's mind. Then he starts calling them names, the muggers, the backstabbers, the two-faced elite, a menace to society, a social disease. Now, I've had my share of dealing with these sorts of people. I've had the odd mugging, and I've been stabbed in the back so many, many times. But then, this now could be a general comment about society and people, these lyrics. It could be about politics or the order of things, but Steve Harris still felt stabbed in the back by the press reaction to this version of Iron Maiden. Now, after this sort of quiet bit going on for a while, then it becomes intense quite quickly and loud, with the snare drum emphasising every syllable. Maybe I should try this when I want to make an important point. "This dinner is dry, so please pass me the gravy." Yeah, I've probably got better examples than that in life, important things, but that's what happened yesterday, so it's fresh in my mind. Now, Steve Harris wrote this, but it's also credited to Blaze Bailey, Dave Murray and Yannick Gers. That's four people writing it. I think that's a first. It's certainly the only Iron Maiden song ever to be credited to both of the band's guitarists. Now, that sounds strange. Yeah, I was thinking surely Adrian and Dave must have worked together, being good friends, but no. I mean, I suppose, you know, some of the novelty B-sides where all of the band got credit, but yeah, this is an unusual song. See, as I mentioned, it's still quite generally, the lyrics, so it could be about business and journalist corruption, which we've had before. And I think, even though I mentioned viruses and computers and the internet at the time not being as established as they are today, I think it could have a link to computer viruses. The second verse says, "Watching beginnings of social decay, gloating or sneering at life's disarray." So that rhymes. But then it says, "Eating away at your own self-esteem, pouncing on every word that you might be saying. So that doesn't rhyme. So I wonder if he sings it so that saying sounds like self-esteem, saying. Because that can happen, can't it, with Iron Maiden? But sadly, he doesn't. He just says it normally, but with a bit more intensity. Because that leads into one of those other drummy syllable bits. Now, even though it doesn't rhyme, it was clearly seen as poetic because it was used as a poem in the song BBF3 by Godspeed You Black Emperor. It was one of their usual rambling instrumental pieces with quite a lot of intensity, but in the background it had a man who claimed to be Blaze Bailey Finnegan III, hence the title BBF3. And he was going on about the state of politics and society in America. And after about 10 minutes, they say to him, the people interviewing him, they say, "Go on, can we hear your poem then?" And then he reads, pretty much, the lyrics to Virus.
"Would you mind reciting your poem for us?"
"Not at all. I don't see why I should. I don't see why I couldn't. There's an evil virus that's threatening mankind. It's not a state of the art, it's a serious state of the mind. The bug is the backstab, is the two-faced leader, menace to society, a social disease. To brainwash the mind is a social disorder. The cynics, the apathy, went up and chip order. Watching beginnings of social decay, gloating and..."
So while it's the same as the song, he does add a few extra bits about the Constitution and things about American politics that I don't understand. Now, after this section, it sort of kicks in, I guess, and it's got a nice energy. Talks about rapier lies, and that's interesting because Bruce Dickinson liked fencing. Maybe this rapier lies is about him, because rapier is a type of sword, isn't it? And some people have said that Iron Maiden didn't release an EP around this time either, because an EP is a type of sword in fencing. But I think that's ridiculous. And there's an extra chorusy bit where the snares don't just follow the words. The line is "all in your mind." And there's some backing vocals as well. I wonder who does these. Is it Blaze? It's not gang vocal, so it's not Steve and Yannick. But it could be Steve Harris.
"All in your mind, all in your head, try to relate it."
When them saying "all in your mind," that reminds me of the B-side to Holy Smoke. You may remember, I didn't cover it, but that is a cover of the band Stray. And they were managed by one of the Cray twins. But yeah, that one is maybe lesser known than the B-side covers on this single, which I'll look at later. Yeah, "All in Your Mind." And after this, we get like this proggy transition, which I quite like. And it sounds like you could add some swooping 70s synth to this. But luckily they don't. There are a few chorus or sort of choir pads that you hear in the background, and they're okay. They don't sound totally authentic, but they're not ridiculous, and they're not sort of at the forefront of the mix either, so they're not too noticeable. And there's a nice sort of closing section where it says, "the rat's in the cellar, you know who you are." And that's repeated a lot, but it's a good repetition because it adds to the intent and the point of what he's saying. You know who you are, the people who've let us down.
"The rat's in the cellar, you know who you are. The rat's in the cellar, you know who you are. The rat's in..."
But then at the end, it sort of flips and says, "or do you?" And then the backing vocals, if you listen, it sounds like, instead of saying "or do you," it says like "I'll do you," which is like a tough threat, isn't it? Maybe that's what Steve Harris was actually saying in the backing vocals. Oh, do you? To the press. It's interesting they use rats in the cellar and not in the kitchen, because of course there's been a few links with UB40 in the past, hasn't there? But yeah, they probably wanted to distance themselves from those. Now, it's strange that they just did this one song in the studio. As I say, it was just for a compilation, The Best of the Beast. And it's odd to think that they would have just gone in the studio to do one song. I don't think they ever did that, because normally, you know, they're doing a session or weeks, doing an album, but yeah, this, just one song. I wonder how they felt in the studio. Right, what's next?
I'll do my fart now.
Do you mean your part, like?
Oh, I wish he could get his effing P's white.
Hey, mind your P's and Q's, Nico.
Get on with this song or I'm gonna get angry.
All right, Nico, let's calm down a bit. Right, doing this because Dave said we needed a song beginning with V.
Again, oh yeah, because all the songs before, they were done in batches, and any bonus tracks recorded, they were done in the same sessions as the album, so yeah, there's no extra tracks generally. But I suppose this one sounds quite intense, so it was probably worth a day in the studio, if not longer. So the song was released in September 1996. Let's see how it did in the charts. Now, it entered the chart at number 16. So that's all right. But then remember that Man on the Edge, that got to number 10. But listen to this. Guess what was number 17? That's right, George Michael's with Spinning the Wheel. Yes! At last Iron Maiden had beat him. But then Spinning the Wheel, that was on its way down because that had been number 2 a couple of weeks before. So yeah, in this week, Ready or Not by The Fugees was number 1. George Michael's dropped to number 22 next week. But then Iron Maiden dropped as well. It's number 41. Something I couldn't hear them on the top 40 countdown on Bath Night. So that was disappointing. So yeah, not much of a chart history that. I should mention The Sleeve, shouldn't I? After the comments earlier. But then I noticed the 12-inch artwork was by Derek Riggs. So people are going to criticise, aren't they, if I mention it, saying it's favouritism. But then people are going to criticise if I don't. But I look at that one and yeah, it's not a great sleeve. It's like a circuit board style background, which is probably trying to look like the maze of a computer network, like a matrix. We've got Eddie's head in the middle with no particularly distinguishable characteristic. It'd look like an animal face, and you could probably add a lion mane around it if you wanted to, but perhaps don't do that because you'd ruin the sleeve. And the letters making up the word virus are in Eddie's mouth. But it's a bit off-centre, which I don't like. I'm sure Jay doesn't like either, who's commented before about the bat on the Evil That Men Do sleeve, which isn't symmetrical. So these things matter. And at a glance, you don't even know, is virus the words in his mouth? It looks like spittle from his teeth. And the top of his head is exploding, and there's some yellow eggy lines expanding into that background, into that computer network, like a virus. So it's a bit like a head exploding with an eggy vibe. So it's a bit like the Can I Play With Madness sleeve, but not as good. Talking of Easter eggs, it is Easter. I had 4. How many did you get? I had 4. 4 eggs. And talking again of Easter eggs, I mean in an Iron Maiden artwork sense, it would have been nice to have had some cheeky Easter egg clues hidden in this sleeve, in that matrix, because there's plenty of space for it. Could have had some clever web speak, I don't know, not DerekRiggs.com, but you know, a bit like he did on Power Slave, maybe things like Bruce Sucks. What I do like, and what we'll now miss, is the classic red Iron Maiden logo, because they changed that for the next release and didn't bring it back for 20 years, so extra emotion. That was the 12-inch, and the CD came in 2 parts, and that they had different sleeves, and they're more scary, and they sort of have the same vibe with the logo as the X Factor, that sort of darkness. In part 1 of the CD set, it was a shorter version of the song, so it had that slow section at the beginning edited out. And some might prefer this, you know, get straight to the good bits. But it does seem strange, might depend which one you're used to. But, you know, how can you cut off the first section of lyrics? Does the song meaning change? Maybe we'll have a similar chat like this for the next single, which is The Angel and the Gambler.
But yeah, as I say, they're not just cutting a solo down, which they've done before to make a song shorter for a single. Yeah, it's not just an instrumental bit, as I say, it's lyrics as well, so it's an odd one. It also had 5 postcards come with it, so yeah, that's nice. But then the 2 B-sides were just cover versions, and some people had already heard them on Lord of the Flies, My Generation and Doctor Doctor, but we didn't get them in the UK, so here was your chance to get them. But now, I'm not a fan of Iron Maiden covers, and these are more well-known songs, so arguably these are going to be harder. But I think Blaze Bayley does a decent job. At least it sounds like he's trying. Part 2 of the CD set, that's got the full version of the song and the Metal for Mothers versions of Sanctuary and Wrathchild. And this was the only place you could get them at this point, unless you had those Metal for Mothers compilations. So this was an extra treat. Now there's an official video for the song, which was filmed in Steve Harris's empty swimming pool. Now I don't know if I'd recommend the video. It has like a dreamlike quality at the start, and the band sort of blur in and out of the picture and sway a bit. In one example, they swap places. I mean, this isn't a dream I'd like to have. But the way they swap without moving is an editing technique. It's one people use on Instagram Reels or TikTok today, where they seem to change clothes without moving. Yeah, maybe someone's wearing an Iron Maiden t-shirt. Then they jump in the air, and when they land on the floor, they're in a purple suit with a bow tie. Yeah, maybe I should have done something like this to get more votes and connection on my what to wear for the Iron Maiden gig post. This blurry movement, that gives that like a seasickness vibe, which I don't like. But then I suppose this is the state of the mind getting confused by the video. There's a change of effect as well with this sort of 90s infrared feel. I don't know what it's called, yeah, but don't like that either. Now with the line, the muggers, the backstabbers, you remember I mentioned that earlier. That's shown with the band taking it in turns to mime those lines. So Yannick does the muggers and Steve Harris does the backstabbers. And that's great timing for one of these.
Dave Murray fact of the week.
Hello. After the band start to mime these words, as I just mentioned, we get to Dave's turn. And the next line is the two-faced elite. And Dave starts to do this, but he could only say two-faced. Because he couldn't keep a straight face. He was too smiley to bring out the sentiment. So that's to bring Blaze in to finish it off and do the elite bit. Now you might remember this is similar to when Steve Harris edited out Dave Murray mouthing the words to Moonchild on the Made in England video. Now, this is a shame, isn't it, for Dave Murray? Because he shouldn't be punished for being cheery. But I suppose it's extra bad because you can see the difference with the facial expression between him and Blaze in that line. So, yeah. That's it's a bit sad, but interesting fact for
Dave Murray fact of the week.
When we get to that snare bit in the video, that's emphasised by a strobing of that infrared camera, which might hurt your eyes and might come with a warning today. Unfortunately, the band acting serious during this bit, well, the whole video, makes it a bit funny, you know, watching them do it, but yeah, people aren't labelling this a comedy, are they? They might say, well, where's Nico in this? But yeah, we get a nice... Well, it's not nice. An unflattering close-up of his nose and cheek at 2:07. Now, I advise that you don't watch this video along with the song. Because, you know, for some people, YouTube might be the only way of hearing this song. So, yeah, don't focus on the video. In fact, focus is the problem. It's quite headache-inducing. It's throbbing, zooming in and out. It doesn't cut it today. Shame. But, yeah, it's a good song. Right, I'm going to give Trevor a ring.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Trevor. Sorry to ring on Easter Sunday.
Oh, it's all right. I'd finished the treasure hunt.
Oh, is that what you were doing in the back garden?
Yeah, good times. Happy Easter, listeners. I'm sure you've already said that, Wayne.
No, I haven't. I had 4 eggs. How many did you get?
5.
No, you didn't. What was that silly hat you were wearing?
What hat?
In the garden.
Just now?
Yes.
You just sat there, watching me doing the hunt.
Yeah, I was. And I saw your mum put the clues out. She was lucky they didn't blow away.
Nah, she's been doing it for over 30 years now. She knows the tricks. The mirrored writing clues are the best. I don't even need mirrors anymore.
Great. Alright, well, we're not here to listen to your skills at Easter egg treasure hunts.
Don't want to know about my hat?
What hat?
The one you asked me about.
Oh, yeah, before you went on about your mum.
Yeah, It's a shame she doesn't fit into the Easter Bunny costume anymore.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Doesn't your mum have a bunny costume?
No. Who told you that?
Can't remember.
Are you going to talk about this hat or what?
Hey?
Oh, come on. The hat you were wearing.
Well, it was just an Easter bonnet.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right, let's talk about Virus. What do you think of the song?
I like it. It's, like a song in three parts. A bit like a play. Although Shakespeare was five parts, or five acts. And it had more drama, so... Yeah, maybe not like Shakespeare. But, yeah, maybe like a trilogy. But then, the first part is the worst part, I think. And that's not the same, is it, as most film trilogies?
No, I suppose.
It's not like the end, or the third part, that lets it down. You think, like, Back to the Future, or Star Wars. But this doesn't. It's almost... The longer the song goes on, the better it gets.
Didn't you buy the single?
Yeah, that's right. One of those Metal for Mothers versions. They were great. I bought a lot of singles then, CD singles. Probably from the first 10 years, remember, when they re-released them. And then for most of the rest of the 90s. The 90s was the age of CD single. And some of those singles were as long as albums, with remixes and that.
Yeah, right. So good song then. What about a poem?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd do something different.
Why?
Well, I thought I'd mix it up a bit. It's like a one-off, isn't it, Virus? So maybe this could be a one-off.
What are you doing?
The poem.
Okay, but why is it different then?
Well, I thought maybe I could bring back T-Rev. Wayne.
Okay, well, maybe seeing as you've had nice comments lately, and I haven't, maybe I should let this happen. Maybe that's what people want. Maybe people will become fond of T-Rev, like they've become fond of Pterodactyl Mark.
Great. Shall I play it then?
Yeah, go on.
We're falling apart. I think we have a virus. Don't know where to start. There's nothing to inspire us. Achy, breaky heart. Like Billy Ray Cyrus. Rev up the charts. I'm speaking through your stylus. T-Rev up the charts. I'm speaking through your stylus.
Okay, thanks for that.
What did you think?
Well, yeah. Couldn't you have mentioned Miley Cyrus rather than Billy Ray Cyrus? That'd have been more contemporary.
Nah, don't want to mention her. She's not as good as Taylor Swift.
Okay, so yeah, that's your poem for Virus. So yeah, a new series next week. Although, you know, that doesn't really mean anything, does it? It's just a new album, really. So yeah, Virtual 11. So yeah, the usual stuff. Get a poem for Future Real. That's track one.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
All right, don't give too much away.
Okay. Thanks, Wayne. Bye.
Right, you can follow me on social media. Doesn't work, does he? Right, you can follow me on social media. I'm at Wayne Maiden on Twitter. I've got a Facebook page and Instagram. And I'm on Ko-Fi as well, which is ko-fi.com/wimp. And yeah, support the show there if you want to leave a tip or make a monthly donation. There's several posts there that are bonus content. Recently, we celebrated 3 years since the first album review special, and that was special. That did have a Jigsaw and Paul Di'Anno revealing that Iron Maiden were on the Muppet Show. So yeah, how could we forget that? Yeah, that's 3 years ago now. And what I haven't mentioned is there's almost like a target thing where if I get so many Frey Bentos pies by the end of the year, then I'll do a Brave New World series. That's good, isn't it? So, yeah, help support that if you want a Brave New World series. And if you don't buy me a pie. I've not mentioned that before. You know, you might think, oh, look at him with all his pies. He's a bit greedy, isn't he? But, you know, we all need pies. And, I've already got 60% of the target and we're in April, so that's all right. So hopefully we'll get there. I had a message on Instagram from IronDemon89. And he said it was a missed opportunity on the Legacy of the Beast tour to have the crowd do a synchronised shuffle for the tiptoe section in Sign of the Cross. Yeah, that's a good point. And yeah, it makes me wish that I'd come up with some more moves for the Somewhere in Time series. because, you know, we could have got something ready for that, couldn't we? Had I known. Do the Days of Future Past tour, so we could have had some perhaps mournful yet energetic for the loneliness of the long distance runner. But yeah, I suppose there's still time, isn't there? It's only a couple of months away. So anyway, back to the virus, and yeah, it took me a while to get into this, and maybe I didn't give it much of a chance at the time because it seemed quite an odd choice for a single. But then I suppose I could see that it was a bit lighter in tone than the X Factor, despite the subject matter. Maybe I saw this as an appetizer for the next album. But so we had to wait quite a long time, didn't we, before we got the next song. So it's not really linked to either album. Despite the font and the artwork making it a bit more X Factor, it's not really a part of either album. So yeah, it does stand alone. So it's quite nice. And yeah, while the lyrics are mainly about the press and what happened to Iron Maiden, they're generally enough, so you can relate it to things today. Things like social media, radicalisation, the politics, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it hasn't dated. I mean, in the 90s, I couldn't relate them to my life. You know, it didn't really link to my better way around. You know, despite the presence of the firm Clean Easy, and I never felt this strongly about them, so. And I said earlier about people saying that, oh, they predicted the pandemic by having a song called Virus. Obviously, that's silly. But you may recall, I did mention that they said about a million network slaves, which I said almost predicted the internet. And that was on Public Enema number one. So did they predict all this stuff, or was it just doomed to happen? Was it obvious? So yeah, this song, I recommend giving it a chance, if you haven't already. And it's probably one you haven't given much of a listen to. But I'd say it's better than most on the X Factor album. So there you are. Okay, well great, we're on to a proper album song next week with Future Real. So thanks for listening to this, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.